T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. So Marlins making headlines again this week. The Giancarlo Stanton, I don't know what to call it, a standoff or what it is, but Clark Spencer from the Miami Herald had a great piece about this in the paper yesterday. According to two sources with knowledge of discussions, Clark wrote, the Marlins informed Stanton in October that if he refused to waive his no-trade rights and accept a trade, he would remain a Marlin, and team officials would look to trade off other top players to reduce payroll. Clark Spencer joins us now. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. And so, okay, Clark, with the tone of this and from what you heard from your sources, is this, would you describe this as a warning, a threat, an ultimatum? How does this come off to you?
No, none of those. I mean, I think it was portrayed to me as just kind of an informational meeting to discuss what would happen, the different scenarios. They didn't put a gun to his head. They didn't give him an ultimatum. But, you know, the team's looking to reduce payroll, and obviously he's $25 million of it just next season alone. So, you know, they're just outlining, you know, the different scenarios that could take place. I don't think this is any ultimatum at all. There's no bad blood between Stanton and the front office or anything like that. They're just trying to lay the groundwork for what could happen.
Does this kind of show people that the Marlins have more leverage in this situation than first thought? Because obviously you'd think the guy with the no trade clause, he's got all the leverage, but maybe the Marlins have some power here.
Yeah, I mean, this does give them a bit of a leverage. I mean, there's kind of perception out there that, you know, he's running the show with the no trade clause in his contract. And in a way he is. I mean, the Marlins have to find a partner that he would be willing to accept a trade to. And, you know, it's not an easy thing. I mean, there's a lot going on here. This is anything but a simple standard trade. This is, you've got his massive contract, $295 million. You've got his no trade clause. He has an opt-out in 3 seasons. We're dealing with state income tax issues. There's no state income tax in Florida. Wherever he goes, he'll more than likely have to pay tax. So how are they going to rectify that? And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here, and it's going to take a while, or could take a while. We'll see. I mean, hopefully it gets over with quick, because this is starting to feel like kind of Stanton fatigue after a while. So I think something will get done, and I think it's going to be one of the two teams, St. Louis or San Francisco, and eventually we'll find out.
Now, if we're talking about Stanton's wish list, we all assume the Los Angeles Dodgers are on there. Are there any other teams you would imagine are kind of on his short list?
I would imagine any of the Southern California teams, San Diego, Anaheim. But so far, you haven't heard those teams mentioned in any trade discussions with him, and I think we would have by now. So if he's really wants to go to California, then San Francisco's the spot. If it's he wants to go to a perennial winner, a franchise with a great tradition, St. Louis fits that bill. But, you know, we don't really know, because Stanton hadn't told anybody. He's been very tight-lipped about what his intentions or what his desires are in terms of a future landing spot.
Clark Spencer from the Miami Herald is joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And, you know, Clark, I feel that the big challenge for this ownership group, one of many, of course, but on the public side of things, will be kind of convincing baseball fans in this area not to judge them on what fans perceive as the sins of the previous ownership group. And sometimes when you read stuff like this, people will react by saying, oh, same old Marlins. But does this ownership group, does this have a different feel for you so far over these first couple of months?
Well, it's too early to tell. They haven't really been in power for very long, so there's been very little interaction. But you're right, going back to what you said before, I mean, a lot of the reaction I saw to the story I wrote yesterday on Twitter and elsewhere was negative. Oh, you know, it's Jeter's the next Loria, whatever. Here's what people have to understand. I mean, Jeter bought this team, and it's got financial issues. The team lost $50 million last year, $50 million, with a payroll that was the largest in franchise history, $115 million. If they were to keep every player on the team, not do anything else but re-sign every player, the payroll would go up next year to $140 million. So do the math. You're talking another $35 million payroll. Now you're looking at losses of $80, $85 million. I mean, you know, no sane person would run a business that way. Right. And so they have to get the financial house in order. And there's more to it than that. It's just more than finances. They've got to rebuild this organization. I mean, fans don't pay as much attention, unless you're really a hardcore fan, to the minor league system. The Marlins minor league system is one of the worst in the majors. It's virtually barren. And for a franchise in this market, this type of market, to succeed, you've got to have a good minor league system. I mean, even if you kept every player on the team, I mean, I've heard people say, well, why don't they go out and get two pitchers to help them? Well, first of all, they don't have any minor league prospects that any other team would even want to trade away or to give up or to obtain to give up a pitcher, and they don't have the money to do it. It's just virtually impossible. So they really need to get the start from the ground up. It's going to be painful. No one's going to like it. There's going to be losing seasons, but they've got to get the organization stabilized. The word you hear them say a lot is a sustainable organization. And I think Jeter's got to be given a break here. I mean, he just bought this team,
right,
and this is what he got. And look, if Loria hadn't sold the team, they'd be doing the same thing. They'd be cutting payroll. They'd probably be starting over. If anybody else bought the team, they'd be doing the same thing. So it's not like Jeter's, you know, different than anybody else. He's just trying to get things kind of stabilized here and back on a sustainable path.
And Clark, this is something that you did write about in the story yesterday, but if Stanton decides not to waive the no trade and he is a Marlin next year, what other moves could be made and what could that roster look like next season?
Well, you know, basically they have to lose. If they want to get down to the $90 million payroll, which we've written about, which was the payroll that Jeter and Bruce Sherman, the principal owner, this was their business plan. They submitted to Major League Baseball when they were trying to get approval for the franchise, to buy the franchise. They mentioned a $90 million payroll around that neighborhood. In order for them to get down to $90 million, they have to shed $50 million. Okay, Stan's 25. You got D. Gordon's like another 10 or 11. They'd like to move Prado, the third baseman, but that's going to be tough because he missed most of last season with injuries. So to answer your question, if they can't move Stan's contract, then they're going to have to look at their other big contract, i.e. Marcell Ozuna, who is projected to make $11 million next season. Christian Yelich is under contract for $7 million, so there's $18 million right there, you know, and then they'll look for other ways. I mean, part of the problem here with the Marlins, well, part of the problem, a huge part of the problem on the Marlins, is they've got a lot of deadweight contracts on their payroll right now. They've got Wei-Yin Chen making a ton of money. They can't move him. They've got Edinson Volquez. He's owed $13 million next season. He won't even probably throw a pitch for him. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. They've got, like, so much toxic salary on their payroll that they can't move, and it's causing this effect where they have to get rid of other guys.
Great stuff here from Clark Spencer. Unbelievable information and a lot of clarity coming in here. Clark, of course, covers the Marlins for the Miami Herald. Check his work at miamiherald.com. And what's the Twitter handle, Clark? I want to make sure I get that right.
It's a simple one, at Clark Spencer.
There we go. Couldn't get any easier than that. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you again.
Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.